clap your hands. You're part of the team sitting in the stands. Come see what's brewing.
And then, of course, on Friday, your Milwaukee Brewers won 13 in a row, tying the franchise record set in 1987. It was a pretty good little weekend for the Milwaukee Brewers. And if you missed any of the action, guys, dramatic yet again. This idea that, like, things get a little dicey, face a little adversity, no problem. Same thing on Saturday. Things get a little dicey, face a little adversity. The team showing that idea of no lead is too big, no situation is insurmountable. I suppose until you got to Sunday when apparently
they lost.
They lost.
How does that happen? And what is this music? Feels like the Brady Bunch.
Wait, you've never heard What's Brewing?
Never heard.
That's not true. Craig Council.
How old?
That's not true.
How old?
That's not true. We've played
I've
it on this show before.
You know that listening is not my strong point.
Yeah, but this is like when Homer tried to tell me he'd never heard AC/DC. Homer, they play Thunderstruck before every Marquette game.
Yes.
You've been the voice of Marquette for 30 years.
I suppose there is a difference between like hearing something and just like it being background noise, which is probably what's going on with the big guy over there, right? It's just a little background noise that...
Because the Bucks have the same thing, don't they?
Green and growing.
Okay.
Yeah, they used to, you know...
So is that equivalent to Go Pack Go? Because that song is hideous.
It's not even a song, it's just a chant.
Feels like a song. It just goes on and on.
Are you saying
Go Pack Go?
Oh, good. We've established that you know how that goes. They lost yesterday, but I got to tell you guys, am I the only one who thought the whole time they were going to win? Right? Like, Wild Bill, late in the game, I'm going, well, there it is. Yep, that's the Brewers for you. That's what they have done all this year. Now, the Reds, as you were probably going to say, Gabe, had a little bit of that in them as well.
Well, but the only time I thought they were going to lose was when they didn't score in the 10th. Like, oh, okay, now it's over. You don't score in the 10th as the away team. Runner on second base gets ugly quick. And it got ugly quick. Got ugly quick.
What are they up by?
Great question.
Oh,
what? I need you to be more specific. What are they up by?
Well,
in the division.
In the division, Chicago.
Yeah.
All right,
so,
well, what is your other question then?
In the best record
yes,
in baseball.
The best record in baseball.
They have a 6-game lead over the Blue Jays. For the lead in the National League, for the best record in the NL, for the top seed, 7.5 games over the Phillies and Dodgers.
Wow.
Pretty good. Now, they start this 5-game series with the Cubs. What is your confidence level after watching them rattle off all those wins in a row and then end up losing the way that they did, losing in extras yesterday to the Reds? Easily could have won that game. There was an error, moved some guys around. There was an error that maybe was like, you know. And look, there are times where you can second guess some of the moves. I haven't done that in a while, but I was like, Murphy, I don't know about making this change. Did you feel that way at all, Gabe, when Murphy made the pitching change later in the game?
Well, which change? I mean, he had to. They're in again. It's tough managing in when you have two extra inning games back to back, and now you have a doubleheader. Tough to manage your way through that, especially when you know somebody like Jacob Mizorowski didn't pitch that long because he got rocked on Friday night, and you really had to rely on your bullpen, and now you've got 18 innings that you got to cover today. It's a tough.
Yeah,
spot
I'm talking
to be
about
in.
When he went from Myers to Anderson. Yesterday.
Yeah, he had to, I thought. Thought that was the way to go.
Tell me why.
Because Grant Anderson, at that point, just has more experience in those situations. And, you know, you got what you could out of Tobias.
Which was pretty good.
Yeah, and Tobias was in a jam, and Grant, for the most part, just giving up the one inherited run was pretty good. But again, you're in such a tough spot then in the bottom of the 10th with a runner on second base.
So they've only lost one game in August.
Isn't that unbelievable?
And you said six. Yeah. I said five.
Did you? What is this, Price is Right?
I did Price is Right you.
She said six, you said five. What, today you said five? When
no,
did you say
I did
five?
Say, when we went through the schedule.
In your dreams you said five?
And then I went into September and then you guys yelled at me.
I don't think I was here when you said five.
I don't think anybody was here when you said five.
I think everyone was here.
I think he dreamt it.
Josh has the tape.
Good luck with that, Joshy.
Cubbies, huh? Our guy's acting a little wah-wash.
Yeah, he's...
If we took a poll right now, it'd probably be our first 100% poll. Would you want Craig Council back as the manager of the Brewers?
Hell no.
That's what he's saying. It'd be 100% no.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be just no. It'd be hell no.
Yeah.
No, you don't go back to the ex after you got something really good going.
But is that why he's acting like a wah-wah?
I'm guessing there's a little bit of him that missing the playoffs last year, sitting on top of the division for the first half of this year, thinking that they're top dogs, and now all of a sudden you blink. Again, just think about the last time these two teams played. The Brewers left that series with a one-game lead over the Chicago Cubs. 2 weeks later, it's an eight-game lead.
Which, by the way, Craig Counsell was very quick to remind people that that was the last time the Brewers have lost, right? Way to work yourself into the narrative there, Craig. You know, they're asking you about the success of the Brewers, and he just has to remind everybody, well, the last time they lost was when they played us. Okay, good. But ever since then, it has been nothing but win, 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 win. So what we're talking about is, in case you missed it, Craig Counsell over the weekend was basically asked about the Brewers' success and this run that they have been on. And according to a column, I believe it is the Chicago Tribune. Mm-hmm. I believe that's who Sully works for. He said, and I do think it is important to articulate this accurately. He said that he has never even seen a George Webb. Is that correct? Am I
that is correct.
Reading it correctly? Mm-hmm. He's never even seen a George Webb.
Yeah. That's what he said.
And he grew up here.
So that's what makes it impossible, Chew. I did not grow up here. I grew up an hour north of here. And just coming down enough for Bucks games or Brewer games when I was a kid, guess what you happen to see?
Yeah.
Especially in the 80s and 90s. Like, there's 23 Webb restaurants now. I'm guessing a couple have closed since the heyday of George Webb. It is damn near impossible to grow up in Whitefish Bay and to have never even seen a George Webb.
Now, I do want to be clear, Chew, because people have taken some liberties with this quote. There is an assertion out there that he's never heard of George Webb. No, he didn't say that. In fact, I know that people did some deep digging that he has talked about George Webb. He has talked about the Brewers' relationship with George Webb. He has talked when the team has been on the precipice of potentially earning free burgers from George Webb. He has talked about it. They pulled up the old Adam McAlvey MLB.com article where he references George Webb. He is trying to assert that he has never seen one. And I think we're all going, yeah, but you grew up here as a kid. What's this?
Tell me lies.
That's how we feel about it?
Yeah, totally.
So why is he doing it?
I think he's panic mode.
He's annoyed.
It's been 2 years. It's no one really cares he's gone anymore. We got the right guy.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to say we don't care that he's
gone.
What
did he say, though?
Because when he comes back, we still boo him. So in order to be booed, like, people have to care.
Oh, this is Gabe's favorite line, or at least one of your favorite lines from Mad Men, right?
Well, that's what the money is for?
Well, then the other one is, I don't think about you at all.
Oh, yeah. But we do think about Craig, because whenever he comes around, we boo him.
But did he say when he left that, reading between the lines, Milwaukee didn't have the resources it takes to win a World Series?
More or less.
I
got to be honest with you. I think there's a lot of people who felt that way. I think there's a lot of people who felt that the Brewers were always operating from a deficiency, that it was always going to be tough for them to have equal footing. Now, this team this year has thus far proven that theory wrong.
I just think he's butthurt. Right?
I think that's a
I think
part
he's
of it.
You lose your mind a little bit because I'm sure they're chirping in Chicago.
Things have not been going well for the Cubbies.
Yeah.
You know, and whereas, you know, obviously things have, because for the Brewers to win 14 in a row and for the Cubs to just fall seven more games behind means they've just played 500 baseball in the same amount of time the Brewers went 14 and 15.
Which again,
and
to be honest, is baseball, right? Like most teams are going to have 500 stretches and we have created this space where we feel like, well, that's just typically how baseball goes. At least at some point during the season, that's how it's going to go. And frankly, that's how it was for the Brewers at the beginning of the season, right? They have just been on this otherworldly stretch right now where they have been able to put some distance between themselves and the Cubs. So if you had to put your Miss Cleo headdress on, call me now. How do you think this series is going to go? You got five starting
three,
with
two.
A doubleheader
three,
today.
Two. Brewers win three out
three,
of five.
Two. Yeah.
4-1.
Which gives me.
See, now that's on the record, Chew. You can't go and say, I said five. I said they'd win them all. Okay.
So that would get me to three. So I still look pretty good.
With this. Your five.
Yeah.
Your alleged five.
You and Craig. It's two peas in a pot lying over there about things that don't need to be lied about. Yeah. That's the crazy part about this thing. Like, why?
Yeah, that's like, just...
Why would you lie about this? That makes no sense.
Yes.
It makes absolutely no sense to be, I haven't even seen George Webb.
Are you telling me that your dad or your buddy's dad, you guys never rolled into a George Webb when you were kids?
I've never been to one. I find that highly suspect. I've never been to one.
I certainly have been to one. I've been holed up in the back corner of a George Webb at like 3 a.m.
Well, yeah, that's part of the Milwaukee College experience.
Soaking up some, you know what, with some George Webb fare.
I'm willing to go as far as not only is he lying about never seeing one, I don't believe he's not actually eaten one. I believe he's been to
you
one, sat
so?
Down, and ate food at one.
I think that is highly probable, Josh. If he had said, I've never even eaten at George Webb, like, I could see a plausible
yes.
way of that actually being true while thinking it's a lie. Like, there is literally no way he's never seen one.
Right.
That's like me saying, even though I've never been to the state fair, I don't even know where the state fairgrounds are.
Never even seen
never
the
even
state
seen
fair.
It. Yes, I have no idea. Couldn't even tell you where it is.
Well, that brings me to my next question. Are there other things that are institutions of Milwaukee that y'all have never seen or never been to? He just said state fair. Why are
yes.
you pointing at it? Oh,
state fair.
Yeah. He just
never
said
but
that.
It'd be like Gabe going, there's no state fair.
He
in,
literally
in Wisconsin.
Just said that. Literally.
You did not.
What are you looking at over there? Splash page at ESPN.com is that distracting?
I'm doing my show prep.
The show started, pal.
I know.
But Chu, is there something that you've never experienced? Is there a Milwaukee thing that you've never seen?
That I could fake it?
No, you don't have to fake it. Like just
like Council did? Is there something? No. Summerfest?
I've never even seen Summerfest.
State Fair? Lakes?
Art Museum?
You got the Art Museum.
I've been to the Art Museum.
I've
been. Is that the one that folds?
Yeah.
Okay, I've been to that. That's kind of cool.
Don't even know where Lake Michigan is. Couldn't tell you.
Never even seen it.
No, I pretty much nailed everything. You guys did know when I first came here, though. I saw custard shops, and I thought you guys loved pudding. Because that's what it's called on the East Coast.
Yeah.
Custard.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But have you been to Cops?
No.
Okay, well, that'd be your
thing. Because you said Cops Burger? No, my loyalty lies was Oscar.
Okay.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Everybody's
Which is
got
fine.
Their spot.
Yeah.
Everybody's got their
yeah.
spot.
But you have driven past the Cops.
I have heard of the Kroll's Burger. Like, I'll give you another one. And this is kind of shocking that I've never been there. I've never been to Kroll's.
In Green Bay.
In Green Bay.
In Green
Bay. Which is right across the stadium.
Yeah.
Which is a staple.
I've never been to 5 O'Clock Steakhouse downtown. But I know where it is. I've seen
well,
I've it.
I've never been there.
I know. Is that crazy?
Oh,
for as much
so
as I love steak.
I mean, you talk about time machine. Seriously,
that thing,
right?
You open the door and it's like you jumped into DeLorean.
Oh, so
went
luscious.
Back in time.
Yeah.
I don't know if we can, like, the other thing I would say is, like, not knowing what a Cousins is, for instance. Like, but I
Culver's.
Think.
Culver's.
Right, Culver's.
Culver's, yes.
It's akin to me because George Webb is so enmeshed into Milwaukee's culture. It would be like saying, if he was asked about cheese curds and him saying, I've never seen it on a menu. And you'd be like, well, come on. You've been somewhere that has them. Because, like, the way, and then obviously we found out through the 2018, he talked about it and talked pretty glowingly about yeah. the culture and the connection it has to the city of Milwaukee, which I think he's trying to distance himself as far as possible by saying, I haven't seen it, which is like, okay, whatever. But it is that absurd of a claim.
A fish fry.
Right.
What is that?
I've
I didn't
never
know
had
they
a fish
did
fry.
That.
Right?
What's
I mean,
Miller Lite?
You put brandy in your old fashioned?
Yeah.
What?
People popping off on the YouTube stream this morning. Interesting comment by Jalian who says, Moneybags Mequon has never been to 5 O'Clock Steakhouse. Lies. Have never been to. I don't know why I would lie about that, Jalian, but good morning to you. But here's one for you. J-Dome says, who cares if he lied? This is a non-story. I disagree. Because I think it's what the lie represents, guys. I think mm-hmm. it is that the lie represents the Brewers are in his head, man.
Yeah.
It is not just at the point where he is carefree, happy-go-lucky. I know you could argue, well, his team's not doing well. But the Brewers are doing so well concurrently that he feels the need to, as Gabe just said, distance himself from this franchise that he has been so connected to for his entire life.
But do you think he knew what he was doing and he's just trying to get in our grill?
No, because
he's not in my grill.
It's hilarious more than anything. Like if this is his version of psychological warfare,
yeah,
then the Brewers are so far deep in there that this is like the last idea he's got. Oh, I know how I'm going to get back at those guys for winning 14 out of 15.
I've never even heard of a little burger joint.
I think he attempted to do but accomplished the exact opposite. It shows how much he doesn't like what's happening.
Yeah, you're probably right.
It's like, hey, man, we know you're lying. Why do you have to lie about this? The Brewers are playing great right now. When he was asked about, is this a great story? He said, what's so great about it?
I actually love this.
I don't know.
Matthew in the 414 weighing in saying, this is like Gabe saying he's never seen a marsh.
Right? Couldn't tell you where it is. Not even sure. Wait, there's a marsh?
990-3776.
No idea.
Gold star for that one this morning here on the Carbless Talkin' text line. We got to take a break. Lots of stuff for us to get to. Packers obviously played this weekend in that preseason game. Walked away with a number of injuries. How
Packers
much
kind of played this
weekend? Why do you hate the preseason so much?
It's a JV football game.
And we will continue breaking down the series against the Cubs that starts today at Wrigley Field.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
His eyeball.
Wait.
Where do I get him?
I just assumed, when I said wait, did you just think it was just a suggestion?
Yeah, pretty much. Typically.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Getting us your institutions of Milwaukee that you have either never experienced but are familiar with. Jeremy weighing in and says, how many of you have closed Wolski's? And Joshy, you made a great reference, which was to compare it to Craig Council saying he's never even seen a George Webb, saying what?
It would be like saying you've never seen the eyes closed Wolski sticker. A sticker that appears on, I believe, every continent aside from Antarctica.
Now, ubiquitous with Milwaukee.
Yes, yeah. You see it on every car. Anywhere you go, you see it. It's just around.
I've seen it in Florida.
Yes.
I've never been to Wolski's. I don't know where Wolski's is, but I know the bumper sticker.
Yeah, again, it's tucked away. It's not like in a easily accessible area, right? Like, you have to know specifically where it is. So if you've never seen Wolski's, I would believe that. If you've never seen the sticker, you're full of bleep.
Gabe, what to you does this comment represent? Because we talked about, you know, the Brewers are in his head. He's trying to distance himself from the franchise. Is there more to it? Because I got to wonder if he is starting to regret his decision to leave the Brewers.
That's possible. But also, I think it was a panic move to try to get somebody to stop talking to him about the Brewers. Like, why are we even talking about this? I've never even seen the place. I don't know. He's obviously cranky. He's crabby because his team was in control of this division a month ago. They were in control. And now they're fighting for their lives to try to win this division. They're fighting for their lives to be a wild card team. And, you know, to the point where he's like, well, there's not much we can do. You know, we only play them 13 times a year. And yeah, he's just trying to distance himself as much as he can from Milwaukee and try to get people who are covering the Cubs every day to stop asking about the Brewers.
If they miss playoffs, is he on the hot seat?
Probably. It would be tough for them to miss the playoffs. They're 5 games ahead of the Reds.
Oh, okay.
So they have the top wild card spot right now.
Okay. Yeah, but we kind of went through the same thing. Not we, because I was born. We had the same thing, though, when Ditka, remember, who is it, Charles Martin, slams McMahon?
Mm-hmm.
So we kind of get it. No?
What are we getting? What parallel are you trying to make?
Yeah, help me out here. What are we getting?
Can you connect the dots for me?
I think he's being a BB, a baby bleep.
Yep.
But Green Bay kind of had that same under Ditka when Ditka was in his heyday. And no?
Oh, where the Packers were like,
Don't you remember Charles Martin slamming
the
McMahon?
Packers, I was born in 86. So maybe the Packers were the little brother in that scenario. Probably. I can imagine that happening. I can imagine that being a thing.
The more I think about it, though, I think he did it intentionally. To stir the pot, to break it up, to distract.
From what?
There's no way you could say that, and anyone would unless you're hammered drunk.
When you're hammered drunk, don't you tell the truth more? Depends upon how hammered?
Yeah. I mean, I'm just trying to, I mean, this is so ridiculous a statement. I think he did it intentionally, and I kind of like it.
Well, I think he did it intentionally to try to get the questions to stop. Trying to get into somebody's head, like, I don't know how this gets into anybody's head other than, look at this clown.
What was he worried about if he had just complimented the Brewers on their recent stretch? Right? Like, what? Like, he, above most people, because of his relationship with the town, his relationship with the team, his relationship with Pat Murphy, for goodness sakes. You can say nice things. You can say, yeah, they're on a hell of a run. You know, it's our job to try to close that gap, and we're going to do everything we can to do that. Why can't
people,
you just say that?
People would say he regretted leaving.
Which is what we're already saying.
Yeah.
Because, again, if he was trying, so it's almost that, like, methinks she does protest too much. Like, that's what it comes down to for me. It's like, you don't have to say the thing that everybody knows is false. You could just say, yeah, they're having a hell of a run. And yeah, it's putting pressure on us. And we need to respond to that pressure. Like, I should do PR. I should really, like, I should talk to these guys and say, here's what the questions are going to be. And here's how you should answer it that won't start a bleep storm for your organization headed into a 5-game series at your home ballpark. Because I think it could have been answered in a way that shows respect to the Brewers and what they've pulled off.
Yeah.
And again, he's got a relationship with some of these players, right? Like, he's coached, managed a lot of these guys, some of these guys, because I know there's been some turnover. There's a part of me that feels like you could have given them their props, given them their due, without inciting the Cubs fan base.
It just...
Yeah, but Ben Johnson...
The Schadenfreude here is just so rich, though. Because he leaves, right? Just stabs every Brewers fan in the back, thinking he was going to be the difference maker for the Cubs. Oh, they just don't have a manager like me. We've got all the money, all the resources in the world to make this Cubs team great. And now for a second consecutive season. Last year, they missed the playoffs completely. They'll probably make the playoffs this year, but the Brewers are going to beat them out 2 years in a row for the division.
Okay, so hold on.
And
I just thought
everything
of something.
Is just spiraled out of control for
him. Do you
him.
Think he is having, this is going to sound crazy to say, do you think there is a little bit of imposter syndrome kicking in here?
I think it's big city arrogance. I don't know if we have that on the list because Ben Johnson. Is that his name? Ben Johnson?
The Bears head coach?
Yeah.
Yes.
Didn't he take a shot at LaFleur the first week of work with Chicago?
He did.
They don't like that little brother's beating him up.
City arrogance is already on the list. It was one of the very early ones.
Okay.
Do you feel like we need to add the big distinction?
I'm guessing the city arrogance was.
I would just put it in parentheses. Put a little big in parentheses in front of city arrogance, just so that it gets covered. It can't be its own arrogance, but it certainly can be looped in.
I think Murph should fire a shot across the bow back.
Yeah, he would
never.
Because
he's very witty. Why not? He's witty.
He would never.
Why?
Because he's already winning. What does he have to do?
Wear t-shirts underneath the uniforms that say something like, George Webb's this way, Craig.
It's just a map of Milwaukee
with the 23 George Webb
locations. With his house, wherever he lives, dude, surrounded
some
by
fans,
George Webb.
Some fans who are headed down to Wrigley Field should 1,000,000% make that sign. It can't be that hard. Just print it off.
Yeah.
Google George Webb's on your Google Maps. It'll pop up with the little pins. And then just print off that image and hold it up at the game. Like, here they are. Here are the George Webb's locations. 800-990-3776. Oh, yeah, because you'd go.
If they gave me a free t-shirt, I might think about it.
Linda in the Falls weighing in saying, this would be like people saying, I've never seen a real Chili's. Now, a lot of real Chili's around.
There
mostly
are?
Downtown, though,
I
right?
think there's just the one location left.
I thought there was just one.
Isn't there one on Marquette's campus, or did that get closed?
I think it got closed. I think there's just, I could be wrong. But I think just the one on Cathedral Square is
There's
the last
two.
One. Oh, there are two.
Is there?
Is it Marquette?
Marquette and Cathedral Square.
I guess
Square.
That makes sense.
How many were there back in the day, though? That feels like a thing that maybe there weren't that many more. Maybe it was just the two.
Yeah, I feel like in my time in Milwaukee, I have only been aware of two.
But when you talk about things that are directly associated with, we were talking about like intertwined, right, in the tapestry of the city, Real Chili is certainly one
of
them.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Now, I've been there.
Well, yeah, I used to go to Taylor's all the time. It's right around the corner.
Yeah, they got good chili.
When you got like maybe 60 steps and you're sitting at one of the booths throwing crackers like everybody else. We'll take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Still a lot of stuff to get to this morning. Trey Hendrickson's name in the news again. I know. You guys are sick of hearing about players that you don't think the Packers are actually going to get. But it is interesting that he has said he wants a trade. He's demanding that trade. Do the Packers make a play for it? We'll talk about that as the show goes on.
Transform the way you do business with Fifth Third Bank's commercial payment solutions. Our market expertise and management services streamline your entire payment process, seamlessly integrating with your existing systems to give you unparalleled control. Discover new revenue sources, save time, reduce operating costs, and boost your bottom line with our customized payment solutions. Fifth Third Bank National Association, custom solutions built around your goals. Member FDIC.
You are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
What do we do? Where do we go from here?
We've talked about insulation. We've talked about fantasy camp. And now we've talked about Burning Man. We've hit for the cycle in the first 5 minutes of the show.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Preseason rolls on. Packers taking on the Colts this past weekend. Got the victory. Not that it matters. A couple things to take away from that game, though. One, penalties early on, not great. I think there were 11 penalties for 85 yards in the first half. Of course, you expect preseason games to be a little sloppy, but obviously that is something that can really jam you up once the regular season rolls around. Now, the injuries are something that are raising eyebrows because the whole goal of the preseason is to try to stay as healthy as possible while also getting your work in. And we have talked on this program about how coaches are trying to thread that needle. They're trying to find the sweet spot of how much can we work these guys? How much can we get them out there and get actual similar to game reps while also keeping our team as healthy as possible? So, Gabe, the biggest injuries that you saw this weekend from the preseason game,
biggest one is Marshawn Lloyd. Like, he's the only one that I think was going to be a big, you know, not a big-time contributor, but you see the explosiveness that he had on the catch that he eventually got hurt on, where he can be that great complement, if he's healthy, to Josh Jacobs. You see the explosiveness that clearly the Packers saw when they decided to take him in the third round a year ago, and for him to suffer yet another injury, have yet another setback, it's just tough. You feel for him, and that's the one that impacts the team the most. Because how many of these guys,
Is he a China doll?
I don't know. If you got a hamstring injury that's going to keep him out for a while, like that's
hold on. He had hamstring tightness.
But
it's
if
not
LaFleur,
a hole.
Well, we'll see what LaFleur says today, but when LaFleur steps up and says, yeah, he's probably going to be out for a while, I don't think that's just tightness. I think that's the head coach saying, yeah, it's going to be significant. That's like saying, they've got a knee sprain, and it turns out tore their ACL. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know, but I'm fine with Emmanuel Wilson.
I'm too.
I mean, hasn't he shown enough?
His average
last year was like 5 yards a carry.
Yeah, for me, he has. And maybe you could sit here and go, yeah, but Lloyd is so much better. But again, he's not available.
Yeah.
So that's where I sit there and go, I saw what Emmanuel Wilson can do, limited, obviously, in a preseason game, and take it for what it's worth. But in 7 games for the Packers as a rookie, he posted 85 rushing yards on 14 carries, which averaged 6.1. So I like Wilson as a backup option if you have to go that route. I'm with you, Chew. No concerns at all from this group about Sorrell's injury, because I believe they were interested in rotating him in as a rookie. So I think they were pretty excited about him contributing to this team.
Yeah, he's somebody that could have, he's going to play, 40% of the snaps? Like, it's not something.
In the preseason, you're saying.
Oh, he might play 40% of the snaps in a regular season game. Like, rotate in and play that. Like, that's how much.
Sorrell?
That's how much.
Fourth round pick.
Van Ness played last
Darren
year.
Sorrell.
It was about 40% of the time. Kind of rotate him in. Yeah. Look, do I think that he's somebody that they would like to develop? Yes. We'll have to wait and see if that's anything more severe with his knee injury, because he kind of got rolled up on a special teams play. But again, these are injuries. We're talking about injuries to backups. Like, it was a JV game.
Because I know.
The list of anybody who is significant is on the did not play roster.
All right. So what is a guy like Belton, who had 5 penalties in a JV game?
Yep.
What kind of confidence does that give you?
Not a lot if he's got to play.
Yeah.
It was good to see him go out and play well in the second half after he got dressed down by Matt LaFleur.
Yeah.
I think there was a starter playing, and I think that's the left tackle, Jordan Morgan, who to this point...
Who played very well.
Who has not given up a single hurry, hasn't given up a pressure, no QB knockdowns, no penalties. The guy just playing starters. Now, remind you, the Packers aren't playing their starters, but the other teams are, and he's performed well. I think that left tackle spot is a spot that he's going to end up having.
By the end of the year.
I think at very least. I think he should start.
The presumption is that Walker's still going to have that spot, at least for the beginning.
I mean, that's the perception, but clearly, the way the Packers have drafted, they're not happy with, or they don't think Rashid Walker's done enough. They like him, think he's fine, but
I don't think they like him. If they liked him, they wouldn't draft the way they've drafted.
Sure, they like him fine. but clearly, they want him replaced. That's what every year they go out and keep adding guys, and if you get your first-round pick left tackle who's an athletic freak and not a guy you're going to have to pay, you're going to probably pay him, and that's where I've always felt.
If you had to make a guess about when he's the starter, what would you say?
I would say week
4.
One.
Weeks? Really?
Yeah. I think he's been that good. And I think the appraise of him has been so effusive.
I'm not there yet. I think it's worth putting on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Infinity Exteriors poll.
It's tough because Walker's been out with the groin injury, right. So they've been... Again, it's just exclusively Jordan Morgan.
But it'll
be interesting this week to me if Walker's able to go, if they work Jordan Morgan back in at right guard.
That's what I was going
to
say.
That'll kind of tell you everything you need to know.
I think Walker's the type of guy that needs reps because Morgan, if he starts the season at left tackle and someone gets hurt, they're moving him and then putting Walker in at left tackle.
Probably. Because
Walker's a guy to right me now, that needs reps because...
Whoever's not starting between the three of Morgan, who I think is going to be a starter at some position, Walker, and then Sean Ryan, like whoever the odd man out there is their sixth offensive line.
But they're not going to move Walker to guard.
Correct.
Let's say Morgan starts the season, Sean Ryan gets hurt,
they'll kick
him
down.
Morgan.
Correct.
I just think Walker's the type of guy that needs reps. I don't feel like you can plug him in the fourth game of the year not having live reps. That worries me.
I mean, you
bit.
Might have to, though.
I know you might, but that's why I would just leave Morgan as the swing guy, because guys are going to get hurt.
Well, yeah, but that's why...
Walker's fine.
Yeah.
Walker's fine.
Is Morgan an upgrade?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Right now, I think
they're
the same
then
guy.
Then Walker should be the starter.
Let's hear from Adam Stenovich, who was talking about Morgan this weekend. Take a listen.
He's done a really good job, and that was the big thing, is just see how he goes out there and plays. He played against a really good DM yesterday and did a good job in Laitu. So, yeah, it was encouraging to see him out there, and, yeah, it was good to see.
All right, let me ask you this. Aiden Hutchinson coming to town first game of the year. Who do you feel better, with Morgan or Walker, who's done it before?
I feel better with Walker for the first game of the season, and I think that is part of why I think if Morgan does become the starter, it will be later in the year. And by later, week 4, week 5. Again, I think you know what, Chu? You bring up a great point. I think you consider the competition as well. What is the other team running against you?
Yeah.
Who are they putting out there? Who do they have trying to get to your quarterback? I think all of that plays a role in your confidence level.
I don't think it can. There. If you think he's better, you just have to put him out there. Like there are a lot of really good pass rushers in this league. You can't protect him and go, oh, we only want to put him out there because we think he might look good here and make us look right.
But it's only
if he's your left tackle, then he needs to be your left tackle.
It's only if the disparity between the two is huge. And Chewy's saying for him right now, it's not. It's close. So if it's close, I lean on the experience. I sort of, you've been there, done that. Division opponent.
Then Walker needs to be your starter for all 17 games if he's healthy. I don't think you just go, oh, okay, now we're ready for Jordan Morgan to start at left tackle. Either he's the left tackle or he's not. Like, that's a position I don't want to be messing around with. And I know Pete Doherty had suggested, I don't think he was suggesting this. He was just saying, hey, this is a possibility of that those guys might rotate at left tackle. I hate that.
I don't like that either.
I hate the rotation thing that Stenovich and LaFleur have done at other positions. Last year it was right guard with Jordan Morgan and
Sean
Ryan.
But that's their M.O. That's like, their M.O. because they do the same thing at receiver. You know? If I'm the tight end, starting tight end, I want to play 70 plays. I don't want to play 40, because even when I did it with Keith, it was 3-1. So I'd play 3, he'd play 1. So Keith was kind of like a specialty guy that we would fit our plays in then. Man, I don't want to go every – the hardest thing for me was being the backup tight end. Because you're on the sideline for 12 plays. All right, go in for one. Come back out. You're on the bench for another eight. And then that's hard.
Yeah.
It's hard to do. So I'm with you. Enough of that. And I don't think they should do it at receiver. I don't like it there either.
Yeah, well, that's where Matthew Golden comes in.
Pick your best guys, let them play. And I'm not saying don't take a break at all.
Yeah, because receivers aren't going to play 100% of the snaps. You know, you run the go route, a lot of times they come off the field, come back in on the next play. But
I will say this, just keep all of this in mind as you're collecting data and trying to determine who you think will be the starting guy there. Stanovich did say this competition could go into the regular season. So they are clearly open to the possibility of starting one guy there and then, whoop, making a switch.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
I'm not a fan.
Make your decision now.
Well, Walker hasn't been able to play a snap.
Yeah, so. I'm not saying not necessarily, but how much more does he got to do? I mean, the dude's been your starting left tackle for how many years?
That's
like, how much more does he need? How much more does he need to put on tape?
And that's the thing that makes me think they're going to Jordan Morgan. Because if he's the left tackle, he's the left tackle, meaning Rashid Walker. And yes, he's injured and not able to compete. But the fact that they're still saying it's a competition leads me to believe they want it to be Jordan Morgan and they need him to prove he can be
there. Oh, yeah, because they have made it very obvious. They don't want to pay Rashid Walker. Right. They want him to walk away. And the sooner you can replace him, the better for the Packers.
Did Zach Tom win the right tackle job?
He did.
He did? He won it? Okay.
I'm glad you checked in. We haven't checked in on that one in a while.
Okay. And I think you can apply that same logic to the left tackle position.
They've
invested more in? The first round pick? That's for damn sure.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see. Seattle's got a good D, too.
Yeah.
They always have a good
D. With McDonald? Mm-hmm. As their head coach.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is going to be a big week, and that's why I'm hoping for Rashid Walker's sake he's able to go. And I think however they line up during that joint practice later this week, if Morgan's going to be playing more right guard, then obviously the competition's not over.
Yeah.
And I think, again, you have to always consider Morgan's draft spot.
Yeah.
That's a big part of, obviously. You may say it's unfair, but that will certainly come into play when they finally make their decision at that position. This August, you have a ticket to a cash carnival at Pottawatomie. Play with your rewards card, earn entries to win your share of $300,000 in cash and prizes. Prize drawings are every Thursday through August 28th. Your fortune awaits at Pottawatomie Casino Hotel, Milwaukee. You can find more information available at Pottawatomie.com about cash carnival. Must be 21 years old and a rewards member to play.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Have you never had a good pie?
I've had fine pies.
You get no pie.
Right now, yeah.
I mean, seems that way anyway. But if we get him on those dating sites, it feels like maybe he could.
Yeah. On 94.5 ESPN.
The Big Ten doing, gang? I mean, I understand, you know, pushing your league, pushing your conference, thinking you got a deep league. But this new report that the Big Ten is pushing I saw 26, 24. What is the number that they finally settled on?
24 to 28.
24 to 28. What in the world? My immediate and initial reaction is, there are not 24 to 28 playoff teams in college football. Mm-mm. I'm sorry, there just aren't. The disparity between the top of college football and the 28th team is enormous, and it's only getting bigger with the way that they could spend money. I know, they're trying to level the playing field with the settlement and everybody getting this money, but somebody put out a mock bracket from last year saying this is what it would have looked like if they existed in a 24 to 28 team playoff. And those would have absolutely been bloodbaths. Those early games between the top seeds and the ones who were just kind of getting in would have been absolute. And that's not good for the sport, Gabe.
Are there 68 teams that can compete for a national championship in basketball?
I always have felt in basketball, it's different because the games are so tight. Basketball is just a different animal.
The 16 seed's not winning a national championship.
No,
the 15 seed's not winning a national championship.
But they can win a couple of games.
Sure, but, well, they're very rarely. But, I mean, I've seen an unranked team beat the number one team in the country.
But the games like, that's have still happened. Been competitive. Not always. There have certainly been bloodbaths in those as well. But every once in a while, you get a game where you're like, yes, this is why we have all of these teams competing for a national title. Because you know, the ball bounces a certain way, or you got a play that's run at the end, and all of a sudden you've got a Cinderella story. I don't see Cinderella stories happening in college football.
How many teams are getting in this year? Is it 12?
Still 12.
12? 12's perfect. Because 12 could... 12 has a shot.
Realistically, 28. No, 12 doesn't even have a shot. Realistically, 8.
Yeah.
I mean, right. And honestly, 4 was probably the best.
So how many regular season games would they be talking?
11? I didn't even follow it out until they would be getting rid of
conference championship games if they were to go to this model. So you would still have your 12 regular season games and then whatever after that.
You think it's because the kids are getting paid now that they feel like, hey, we can have an 18 or a 20 game schedule because they're getting paid?
No, it's trying to engage more fan bases. It's trying to say your season isn't over when you lose to X team in week 4. If you're one of the top 20 whatever teams, you still have a chance, so you stay engaged. You stay locked in.
Well, because, yeah. I mean, again, part of the problem is by going to 12, they've diminished the regular season. The game,
yeah, I agree.
The game, Ohio State, Michigan,
yeah,
doesn't mean what it once did. We saw that right away when they went to 12. Because in the past, if you lost that game, you had no chance at a national championship. This year, Ohio State lost that game, still won the Natty. So now they've got a problem on their hands. And now trying to either engage more fan bases, but realistically, what I think it is, Chu, I think you're partially right. I think it is because they have a pool that they can now pay players from with the settlements and everything that happened. Yeah. I think they're looking for ways to generate more
money. Yeah.
And the easiest way to generate more money is to expand your playoff, sell those games to the networks, and that's how you get more money for the Big Ten, which is why the Big Ten wants guaranteed 7, so then they have that guaranteed revenue to split amongst their 18 teams to try to pay for players and have the elite players go to the Big Ten. It always just comes down to money. That's the only reason they would want to expand, because, Jen, you're right. The 28th team's not going to win a national championship. So...
Oh,
it
the
comes,
14th team's not.
Yeah,
going.
Want me
but
to
it comes down
off?
To money. It comes. It just. It's 100% comes down to money.
Right. Yeah. It's not merit based. That's pretty simple. Because
I was rattle thinking... off the top 7 teams last year in the Big Ten. You guys know? Yeah. Do you think you can name them? The top 7 teams last year in Big Ten Ohio's... football. Let me give you a hint. Wisconsin, not one of them.
Ohio State, Indiana. Really? Ohio State, Indiana, Oregon,
Penn State,
Washington.
Not one of them.
Yeah, they sucked last year, didn't they?
Iowa
is one of them. Which
yeah,
is
Iowa
actually
would have been
shocking.
One of them. Was Minnesota one of them?
Just outside.
Thought they might be that.
5-4 though, but there was a 5-4 in conference team that did sneak in.
Nebraska, Illinois,
Michigan, Illinois was in there as well. Yes,
Illinois. Yeah, Illinois.
So Oregon, Indiana, Penn State, Ohio State, Illinois, Iowa, and Michigan.
Good for the Wolverines getting in last year.
And that's
Congrats.
Based on conference record, not overall record, because Penn State did go 13-3. Ohio State went 14-2. Illinois went 10-3. Double-digit wins for Bielema and company down there last season.
Their preseason ranked 12
I saw
this
that.
Year.
Yeah. Beware of the Brett Bielema.
Yeah.
And, of course, Oregon had just the one loss in the season last year.
28's ridiculous. What are they thinking? Is it because they want to get, like, the underdog in there?
No, they want more money.
Yeah, you don't have to look. This isn't based on merit. It's based on how do we generate more money. I think you could say the same thing for major sports and professional sports leagues. Do we think the 14th team in the NFL playoff necessarily deserves to be there? They generally don't win, and if they do, it's a big deal. It's just simply a way to... And I think you could do this, and you would have to probably give multiple buys to like the top 4 teams. That way, you're not having a 1 versus 28 absolute blowout. Like, you probably need multi-level buys for it to make any sense.
Do we need a cap? Or is this going to turn into baseball?
I mean, there is a cap of what you can spend on your players internally, but there's no cap on NIL.
That's what I'm saying.
But you can't cap that.
I mean, who was the next... Not that you,
That's outside
who was
revenue.
The next closest? Who was the next closest to Ohio State who
Ohio
we
State,
knew spent $20 million
Ohio
on
State,
their players?
I don't even know. I think Ohio State spent the most money last year.
Yeah.
I think, I mean, everybody knew about that because the article that was written before the season, I think Texas spent that much. Trying to think. I mean, Alabama's probably in that ballpark. Georgia's in that ballpark of the $20 million club.
Beyond the rivalries, guys, it just takes away any significance for regular season games. Part of what is so great about college football is the rabid passion week in and week out about wanting to win those games.
Yeah.
And if you start going, yeah, but 28 teams get in, you well, you know what we're not going to do? I'm not going to go to that game. I'm going to just sit here at the frat house and drink my way through and watch it on television, hear the guys call it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it lessens the significance and importance of those games, which, again, is the fabric of college football. That it is so passionate and strong, and, like, you lose that. I just don't think that people get as invested in the games week in and week out. And that affects just the whole dynamic of college football, in my opinion. We'll take a break. Still a lot of stuff to get to in the second hour here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Stick around.